Now, friends, as we come to the 11th chapter here of the book of Daniel, we need to remind you that it's a continuation of chapter 10. Actually, we've already said that chapters 10, 11, and 12 all deal with the same vision. And this particular chapter, I think, is very important because it fills in some of the details of the 70 weeks of chapter 9, which concern Daniel's people. And it also fills in some of the details that had to do with that multimetallic image in chapter 2 and the wild beasts of chapter 7. So this chapter is quite important chapter. And we saw last time that apparently Satan hindered the angel in coming to give Daniel the answer, because it did concern two of these nations that were all important as concerned Daniel's people. Now, the two nations were Persia and Grecia. They'll be identified for us in this chapter. And we are going to see here a marvelous arrangement and the program of prophecy that you'll find nowhere else. Another contribution I think that this chapter makes is that it bridges prophetically part of the gap between the Old and New Testaments. Actually, we speak today of this being a sort of a hiatus between the Old and New Testaments. It's a period of silence. Actually, that's not exactly accurate. The intertestament period was a time of Israel's greatest travail up to date. They suffered at both the hands of Syria and Egypt, and then, of course, later on of Rome. But that, of course, is suggested in the New Testament. But we find in this period the rise of a man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes, and he will be a type and an adumbration of the Antichrist who's yet to come. He is a member of the Seleucid family, and we'll identify him when we come to him in this chapter. And he was anti-Semitic and a persecutor of the Jews. He far exceeded any Pharaoh or Haman or even a Hitler or Russia today. He's been called the Nero of Jewish history, and he's been labeled the great profaner. Now, we are going to find, therefore, that there is in this chapter a tremendous break between what is actually historical and eschatological. What I'm trying to say is this, that when this chapter was given, everything was in the future, was prophetic. But part of it has been fulfilled, and we'll indicate that when we get to it. That makes this a very important chapter. Now, my first thought was, as I got into the book of Daniel, that when I got to this section, that I would give it, shall I say, a lick and a promise and go over it rather hurriedly and not deal with it in detail at all. And there was a reason for that. The reason is that this is rather complicated, and it is very remarkable, but it goes into prophecy a little deeper than the average person likes to go into prophecy. Most people today, they like the froth, and the fuzz, and the foam about prophecy, the exciting part, the sensational part, and all of that type of thing. But really, to dig down and get into what the Word of God really says, it's not something that the average person will do. But I've been encouraged in this by the response that we've had to Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, where I did go into a certain amount of detail, and the response has been good. And that's encouraged me now to continue on here. Now, if you find this particularly boring, maybe you could turn over and listen to some Christian music somewhere, or maybe do something else. But if you really want to see one of the most remarkable prophecies in the Word of God, you follow along with us at this particular time.